Suffering. My first real suffering was losing my dad in 2014. And feeling that loss and feeling hopeless and wanting answers. And then kind of realizing at the same time that, man, there's a lot of people that have been through this. Most of us are going to lose our parents or dad. You know, most of us will go through that. But not all people are going to lose their kid. Not everyone's going to bury their son. In June of 2019, we lost my son, River. I was outside playing with all three kids. The sun was really bright in the sky at 7:30 at night in Texas in June. And the boys were playing water gun fight. Probably 2 minutes going by, and I don't know if it was 2 or 3 minutes, when River got through our locked pool gate, and we know now that he was filling up his water gun.
I was in the back room. All I could hear was River and pool. And when I came outside, Granger was already doing CPR on him. And that initial vision of seeing your son lifeless.
We learned later that it could have only taken 10 seconds for him to lose consciousness.
I called 911 and we took turns doing CPR on River. Water was coming out, he was getting everything out, so we were thinking we were making progress. But as soon as the ambulance got there, they whisked Granger and I away, and then they went to work on River. And they told us they got a pulse.
I thought he was saved. I thought, this is it. He's back. And they rushed him to the hospital, and we followed him. Over the course of the next couple of days, things took a turn for the worse, which now we know is common in this kind of brain injury, being unconscious for that amount of time with no heartbeat. We had teams of neurosurgeons coming in and reviewing the data and looking at River.
But he said there's zero chance of brain recovery. Not even 1%, you know, not even 0.5%. He said zero chance.
I opened his eyelids and I saw his eyes, and they were gone. Was nothing in there. It was completely lifeless.
And I just couldn't wrap my brain around how your vibrant, happy child could go from that to nothing. And then we had to wheel him down the hall with his heart still beating. And then they closed the door. And that was the last time we saw him.
I experienced the lowest of lows in the days to come. And those days turned into weeks and months. I dove more into devotionals. And I became a devotional junkie. You get your calendar and you get your date, you turn the page and you read this beautiful devotional with these beautiful, what I call coffee mug verses that sound amazing. And they are amazing. But they're like the salad of the meal. You know, they're like the hors d'oeuvre. They're not sustaining enough for that deep of pain. Amber and I went to therapy. We went to many therapy sessions and then went to a retreat and learned about our minds and our recall and our brains and brain spotting and dealing with post-traumatic stress and trauma, how to deal with that psychologically. And it felt good, but once again, it wasn't a satisfying a hunger that I now had. One day I realized that maybe the Bible itself would be something that would satisfy this hunger. And the hunger was a hunger to diminish the suffering. As I read the scripture and as I absorbed on my own without an interpretation of a devotional or anything else, I then really started hearing the voice of God through the Word of God.
After the accident, Granger had said, you know, do you think you would ever want to have another baby? And I said, no. I said, absolutely not. I can't. No way. Like, River was our caboose. He was our last. I couldn't do that. I felt almost guilty, like it would be some sort of a betrayal to River. I didn't even know if I could have another baby because I had tied my tubes after River.
In December of 2019, my son Lincoln said, I don't know why he said it. We were driving down a county road with no trees, it was only cornfields. And Lincoln, staring out the window, he says, Daddy, does God make the trees or does man make some of the trees? And I answered right away, and it was not my voice. It was not my thought. And I said, God makes all the trees, but sometimes man plants the seeds. And I said it and it was kind of weird. And I was like, yeah, it worked perfectly. That's a good answer. But I didn't generate that thought. And it's hard to explain, but I go home and I was talking with Amber. She said, you know, I talked to the doctor. There actually is a way if your tubes are tied. It's called in vitro fertilization, IVF. And she started getting emotional and she said, but I don't think I can consider IVF because who would we be to play God? How could two humans through a lab fertilize an egg and play God? She started crying, and then, man, it hit me like a ton of bricks and I just started bawling. I looked at her and I said, God makes all the babies, but sometimes man needs to plant the seeds.
June of 2020, they said they were ready to do our transfer, our first transfer. So we went in and it ended up working. We got pregnant in July. In the very beginning of that pregnancy, they couldn't find the heartbeat at first. Then the next week, we came back and they found it. And then the week after that, they couldn't find it. So it was this roller coaster of this up and down. And I remember thinking, if this doesn't work, I'm gonna be so confused. We had a miscarriage in August. Since River, I just said I was gonna surrender to whatever his will was, even if I don't understand it, no matter how much it hurts. So I just surrendered and I said, okay. Went back in December and currently I'm pregnant with another little boy. And it is the one of the greatest definitions of grief and joy coexisting together.
When I read the Bible, I felt the rhythm of that voice that says everything is under his control and under his plan. God doesn't take away suffering. We all have suffering. We're all going to suffer. It's promised. But the power of God sustains us through the suffering instead of eliminating it.
So many people have told us their stories of wanting to know God again and wanting to open their Bibles again because of our son, because of River.
And there is so much peace knowing that there is a purpose and there is a plan made for good.
And when you ask if anything good has come out of this tragedy, if other people are wanting to know who Christ is, or if other people are wanting to seek God, that is good.
To have Jesus tell us that in this world we will have trouble. But then he says, but take heart, I've overcome the world.
And that is restoration, and that is healing, and that is meaning, and that is purposeful. As much as that hurts, he's working, and he is working all things out for good.
My name is Granger Smith.
My name is Amber Smith.
And I am second.
And I am second.